Hello, welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat. Pastor Brent Kuhlman, Pastor Scott Porth, sitting at the table with you today. We've been walking through a study of the prophet Amos. Made a couple of connections how Amos is very much like the book of Revelation.
Oh, yeah,
well.
And just wait. I've got more on that. When we get to let me turn to it here. Wait till we get to chapter 7 and through most of 9, and boy, we will really see the parallels.
Emphasis on wait.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait. It might be a year by the time we get
no,
as fast as
No, it won't be that
I
long. No. No, Jack. No. Amos 4, that's where we're at, folks. If you want to turn in your Bibles, if you've got it. Otherwise, just open your ears and take a listen. Brent, you want to jump in there?
Yeah, Amos continues his preaching, and now he goes after the women in the northern kingdom, calls them a name. And in America, we really don't understand what he's driving at here, but so I'll try and explain it. Here we go. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to your husbands, bring us some drinks. The Lord has sworn by his holiness, the time will surely come when you will be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. You will each go straight out through breaks in the wall, and you will be cast out toward Harmon, declares the Lord. Go to Bethel, this is verse 4, and sin. Remember, Bethel is the primary place of worship in the northern kingdom, and Gilgal.
Go to church. Go to church, folks.
And this is it's like tongue-in-cheek preaching, but it's true.
Go to church and sin is really what... You know, if I could just put it in different language.
Yeah, you love to sin when you go to church, so go ahead. If that's what you want, okay. You won't listen to the word of the Lord, okay. Then okay. He's like, permission giving, if you will, but not quite. So go to Bethel, go to Gilgal, sin yet more, bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years, burn leavened bread as a thank offering, brag about your free will offerings, boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do. In other words, you love to go to church to sin. It's all about you. It's not about receiving from the Lord. It's not about you confessing the truth about yourself, that you're a sinner who need a Savior, and therefore you don't love your neighbor either.
It's not about calling a thing what it is.
Correct.
So Amos does this, cows of Bashan.
Yeah.
What's that reference?
Well, let's try and do a little bit of work here with this. This is a district that's east of the Sea of Galilee, and you know what it's famous for?
Cows.
It's cattle.
Oak trees,
that's right. And these were really sleek, well-bred cattle. I mean, these were some of the best you could buy.
Kobe beef.
Yeah. So, again, back to verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, who demand from your husband, bring us more drinks. All right.
Sounds, the women here sound just like the men. I mean, this is the sermon that Amos has been preaching, right?
Yes.
As far as oppressing the poor, crushing the needy.
That's
not
correct.
Loving your neighbor.
That's right, because they do not love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. Again, let's repeat. Amos is going after sinners. You, me, and the people of the northern kingdom of Israel. I got to repeat this. Again, when you read the scriptures, this is your story too. When Amos preaches, he's preaching to you as well. He's talking to you. This is not some exercise in just reading ancient history. It's more than that. Israel's history is my history.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, when you read Genesis and you read Cain murdering his brother Abel, I'm Cain. I'm the one who did that because I hate my brother.
You sound like Jesus.
Well, he talks like this in Matthew's gospel. If you call your brother a fool, idiot,
raka,
yeah, then you will be liable to the judgment. So yeah, I want to just repeat that. So we're not just doing an exercise in ancient history here. The pastoral care that Amos is giving Israel is the pastoral care which we're trying to give to our listeners. Is that Amos is also talking to all of us. So he's trying to lead them to tell the truth about themselves. Yeah, they're sinners. They don't love God, and they don't love their neighbor. And therefore, they oppress the poor and the needy. All for the sake of what? More greed. And so when he compares the women, generally speaking, to the cows of Bashan, what does a cow do all day, these cows? They luxuriate. They're fed. They're well fed.
They graze.
And yes, and they luxuriate is the language I like to use here. And so if you've ever watched cows luxuriating in a pasture or in a field, they're only thinking about themselves. They don't think about anything else except themselves.
Two things, grass, belly.
That's right. That's right. So they drink their cocktails with no thought and no heart for the poor, let alone for the Lord. And so then they share in the guilt and the sin of their husbands who also oppress the poor. You know, like when we get later on in the book of Amos, you know, the business people can't wait for the Sabbath to get over so that they can sell their goods.
Yeah, get back to their real idols, their real gods, doing what they really want to do.
Sound familiar, folks?
Uh-huh.
In America, we don't go to church. We skip it so that we can...
I got to rush right home so I can catch the finals of the Australian Open.
And you will. I know you will. We're talking tennis. Yeah. Well, now let me continue here with 4 through 13.
Well, hold on. What fish hooks?
Oh, yeah. You ever seen that movie, what was the Mel Gibson movie where the Aztecs come and they take away, you know, right at the end, the Aztecs come? Oh, I can't. Apocalyptica, I think, is the name of the movie. Have you seen that?
My answer is no. I have not seen that
movie. Oh, yeah. So you've got right before the Spanish come to Central America, to the Aztecs. You have the Aztecs. This is the Mel Gibson movie, Apocalyptica, where you have the tribes who war with one another. And what do? The tribe that is defeated. This is exactly what happens. They're hooked together like fish on a stringer.
Yeah.
And that's precisely what happens to the northern kingdom of Israel when they're taken into exile.
Yeah, just foreshadowing the exile into Babylon.
That's right. And again, when Amos says these words, that this is going to happen to you, to people who are just living in absolute extravagant luxury, they hear these sermons and think, this guy's an idiot.
So these cows luxuriating at their own pace, you know, wherever they want to, will be fish hooked together and led away.
Yep, like fish on a stringer.
Yep, a whole different world, a whole different life.
To another land, another country that is not their own.
Another lord, rather than themselves.
Yeah, and again, this is harsh preaching to do what? To show them their sin so that they will then say, we are sinners and we need the promise of Jesus.
Thank you, Brent, for always bringing that to the forefront, because we have to be reminded of that. This is the Lord calling his people, not just the northern kingdom, but you and I, to repentance.
And see, this is the central theme of the scriptures. If you think that you can move beyond repentance, confessing your sin and then trusting in a word of promise that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, you've moved outside of Christianity. And so repentance, those two parts that I've just mentioned. And you could add a third if you want, like when John the Baptist says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. I'm not opposed to that, and I would encourage that, because the scriptures do teach that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just, for the sake of our discussion, the two parts. Confess that you're a sinner. Also believe, in other words, that you're forgiven for Christ's sake. The temptation today is to move beyond that. So we now have many pastors in the United States, especially the mega church ones, who this is not even on their radar screen. Seriously. This is not on their radar screen, namely repentance, confession of sin, and then actually forgiving sinners, namely giving sinners Christ. That's not even on the radar. Now, it's on the radar screen for just a little bit, just for the one time when they need to get, quote, saved. Then after they're, quote, saved, when they've given their lives to Jesus and made him the Lord and Master of life, then they don't need that message anymore to repent. And so you have people who go to church in America and only hear the message that Jesus died for sinners once in their life. Can you imagine that? And so this is a dangerous thing.
And why is that dangerous? What lies at the root of that, Brent, is really this denial that you know, we are at the same time sinners and saints. Sinners will do what sinners do, that is sin, and saints will do what saints do, you know, do holy works, do righteous things. And so this approach that, you know, you deliver the goods, the forgiveness of sins, once, and then you're good to go. That really denies this ongoing reality that we are, and we continue to be, as long as we live in this flesh.
That's right.
At the same time, a sinner and a saint. And therefore, we need repentance. We need law and gospel.
Yeah, it's what happens is this is very prominent in America and all over the quote Protestant Christian world, if I can talk like that, is that you get saved. Why? So that you could multiply the kingdom. So, okay, hurry up, get saved, and now you're in the army now, which means 24/7, 365, you're always going after the unchurched. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not against doing mission work and reaching out to people. I mean, here at Trinity Murdoch, I mean, good grief. I'm now, in the last 2 years, we're working now towards the third and fourth person, the adult, third and fourth adult now to get baptized. They've never been baptized. So, yeah, we're not against reaching out to people. But what happens is with this doing church for the unchurched kind of way of doing church and ministry in America, you eliminate high pastoral care for people who, yes, they are saved, but they remain sinners. And then all of a sudden, all they're pointed to is my work of doing church for the unchurched, multiplying the kingdom. And it's 20. Take a look at this, folks. Watch how this works in the United States. This is the matrix.
And a great diagnostic for that, you know, as we've pointed out before, centers in the forgiveness of sins.
So I want to watch how this works in churches where the whole service is geared not to take care of you sitting in the pew, you who've come to church. It's not geared to say, all right, now hear the word of the Lord, you the sinner. You are a sinner. And now hear another word of the Lord. He died. Jesus died for you, the sinner. That's diminishing. If that's almost like T-Rex, this kind of preaching.
So, listen, is forgiveness talked about or is it delivered? Does the person in the pew actually need to have their sins forgiven, or are we just kind of reminding them about this forgiveness that's out there? It's like the doctor walking into the patient's room. Does he just talk about the medicine, the antibiotic, whatever, or does he hook him up and deliver the goods?
And the one of the other diagnoses of this to see if it's being done is if the preacher says that Jesus died and then the pronoun comes out, for you. You can talk about Jesus all you want. You can talk about the forgiveness of sins all you want. But if it's not for you in preaching, then you haven't preached the gospel. Yeah, you got to get the pronoun right.
I'm gonna piggyback on what you say. So when you hear the preacher say, your sins are forgiven, but he doesn't stop there. There's not a period. There's another word that comes. But, when, if, well, then the forgiveness of sins is dependent upon something else, right?
Instead of Jesus.
Right. Your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. But, when, if. But as you say, not only has Christ forgiven the world's sin, but the for you then. That's the delivery of the goods.
Yeah, now back to Amos and his preaching, and he preaches a heavy
dose
of law.
Oh, we're in Amos?
Yeah, but like I said, it'll be a year before we get to chapter 7. In preaching the law, he's preaching the word of God. And this is what the Lord does. When you have an unrepentant sinner, that sinner has to be demolished. That old Adam has to be destroyed. It has to be told, no, you're not in charge. You're not God. And what you say to yourself all the time, well, I'm good. No, you're not.
And I'm here to tell you
that's
right. That the Lord is going to fish hook you.
That's right. And see, this, again, law and gospel preaching, and it's all directed to the hearer. This is a very important point with law and gospel, is that, you know, what's the situation here? Oh, these hearers. Ooh, okay, they won't repent. All right, they're going to be fish hooked, stringered.
What do they need? What does the hearer need?
And that's blessed are you if that's happening to you, by the way.
Yeah. Blessed are you when you are repented, when the Lord fish hooks you, when the Lord crucifies you so that you die to yourself, no longer trusting in yourself and your righteousness for salvation, but rather being led by Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. For there, for you, the Christ died for the forgiveness of all your sins. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a bit.